Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.
Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water, a kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando, on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, here we go. Mike Sando joining us. On the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, all brought to you by good friends at Cascade Ice Sparkling Water, locally owned company, Everett, Washington. Need a caffeine kick without sugar, calories, or carbs? Grab a 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice with 160 milligrams of organic caffeine. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. God, I learned something today. Did I see this right in your column? The New York Jets over-under on wins was 6.5?
It seems so long ago, you know. I guess we saw yesterday that they're a little bit healthier in some spots and look a little better. But, yeah, isn't that hard to believe? Shouldn't we have all run and bet on that?
I'm under? Kicking myself right now for not betting on that. Jets at 6.5. My God, yes. All right. Overachievers, underachievers, we're going to touch in on that. But I want to start first with Taysom Hill. What'd you think of Taysom Hill and Sean Payton going with him?
Okay, so I can see why he did it for what they're paying him, for what they've told him. I mean, he's been a great soldier for them, and Peyton has said for a long time he values him as a quarterback. So to go in another direction, you know, could be seen as not doing right by one of your main guys, right, and you're paying him. So, you know, that said, I was watching the game just generally. I was generally pleasantly surprised by how he played because I'm kind of one of those who thought he was more of a gadget player. Then today, you know, watched a little more carefully, watched it actually with a coach today. And, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, applying quarterback standards, you know, not real great, but their defense is playing good and they won the game and Sean Payton can claim victory and move on to next week.
He did have some explosive plays down the field. What was it when you're watching, especially with the coach, that you guys kind of that jumped out at you that wasn't quite as good?
Yeah, well, there's just a lot of throws that he completed were really easy, shorter fields, in-breaking routes. When he did throw the ball deep, underthrown by 5-6 yards in some cases where the receiver's stopping and everyone goes running by and he almost fair catches it or just underthrows them completely. So we didn't really see accuracy down the field throwing the ball, which, you know, is hard. And maybe he'll evolve that way. But if they're going to allow 9 points, I mean, it's a pretty wide berth for him to drive through, you know?
that makes it a little easier, doesn't it, along the way? It's kind of a surprise Kamara wasn't as involved as I thought he would be without Breeze, but, hey, they got out of it all right. Underachievers and overachievers. Let's go with the negative for a second. We talked about the Jets. How many of the other ones underachievers, though? Cowboys and Eagles, Chargers, maybe even throwing, I think, the Niners in there. How many of those are just injury-related?
I think you would put the 49ers in there. Certainly the Cowboys, I think, were way overrated anyway, but you, clearly losing Dak Prescott made them be less competitive. They weren't winning with them, but they were competitive. I think Philly is injuries, but it's not injuries like, oh, bad luck with injuries. You know, they had an old roster, so that's kind of what you get when you're trying to piece it together with Jason Peters and DeSean Jackson and all these older players, a number of 30-something offensive linemen. So that was a bet they made trying to keep it together, and it didn't work for them. You know, I think, you know, the Chargers to me are the most frustrating of the teams. Their over-under for wins was 8. They've got 3, so they're on pace for about 5. They've actually should have won a bunch of games. You know, they've had double-digit leads. They've played decently in a lot of the games they've lost. But their only victories are over 3 teams that are a combined, I think, 3-26-1 on their record. So they haven't done anything, even though they've got this quarterback who's playing well and all that.
Well, I mean, they had the one, was it 2 weeks ago against the Raiders where it looked like they won the game, but then the ball came loose on the last play of the game. I mean, it feels like they've had a lot more heartbreakers than a lot of teams around the league.
They have, but, you know, they've been ahead in the driver's seat in some of those games, too. So for whatever reason, is it your management of the game, you know, whatever it is. You know, you can lose a couple games like that in a year, but when you're setting records and losing double-digit leads to lose four times, you know, then you got to look within.
I think I saw – did you have Cleveland as an overachiever? Were you a little surprised by their success so far?
Yeah, I mean, heck, 7-3. I went back. They haven't won more than seven games in a season since 2007.
Oh my gosh.
Already, it's just kind of depressing when you think of it. But you know, they're already at 7. They're 7-3. Heck, they're ahead of the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens will probably lose on Thursday night to Pittsburgh. You know, the Browns are in great shape for where they've been. You know, and they're not a mess, right? They're not a bunch of controversies and you know, a coach who's not controlling things. I mean, to me, they seem pretty solid.
Did you have Baltimore in there as an underachiever by any chance?
You know, Baltimore, let's see where we had Baltimore. I didn't have them listed. So Baltimore's over under was 11.5, and they're actually on pace for 9.6. So, you know, I think one of the things about Baltimore was they were so great the second half of last year that everybody sort of projected that that's what they were going to be. And you know, that's a pretty high bar.
Mike Sando joining us from The Athletic, theathletic.com, brought to you by Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice, sparkling water. We told you about the one with the caffeine kick, 160 milligrams of organic caffeine. They also have one without caffeine, so if you want Cascade Ice without caffeine, you can do that as well in a 17.2-ounce bottle. Caffeine, carbs, sodium, and gluten-free. You can find them at your local grocery stores in the Puget Sound area. I was thinking of you the other day because even though Russell Wilson dropped back on his first play of the game on Thursday Night Football, on that opening drive when they weren't behind the sticks, they had, I think, three first down rushes along the way. So how's our Seahawk Cook Index this week?
Well, it was the third pass heaviest game if you're looking at last year. But this year it was the most run oriented one. And I think you could see even when they were passing the ball, you know, it wasn't real risky throws, right? They weren't having Russell Wilson sit back there and pat the ball and look around and get to his third read and buzz it in there. I mean, it seemed like a lot of kind of quick hitting, you know, bootleg him around and throw quickly to a guy who's running to the same side of the field. I think they took the risk out of the game, and they played so much better defensively. It probably was a really good strategy for them to just get this win and not take any chances. They felt like they were the better team, especially with Arizona on a short week. And, you know, they actually proved that they were. So good for them. I think we'll have some other days where they throw it around more. But they had to kind of get things under control, and I think that's what Pete Carroll did.
And, Mike, maybe just clarify that because people are going to say, wait a second, they still threw the ball a lot more than they ran it, especially when you take out Russell's 10 scrambles along the way. That's not what we're looking at with the Cook Index. Maybe explain a little bit again why they were so, as you would say, pass or run heavy in that game.
Yeah. So basically the league averages about 50% pass on first and second down in the first half of the game, and we really exclude the final 2 minutes of the first half because sometimes you're doing different things and you might be in a hurry-up mode or something. But if you just look at the early downs in that, the league's about 50% passing the ball. So if you go back two seasons when Seattle was really, really heavily running and the fans were frustrated, remember the Dallas playoff game they lost? It seems like they're hitting their head into the wall. They were like 38% pass in that situation, and it was the most run-heavy, the least pass-heavy since the Tim Tebow Broncos, okay? So last year, they kind of crept up towards closer to the league average, but still towards the run. And this year, they have shot to number one in the league towards the pass, like 65%. They've completely changed. You know, they've let Russ cook, right? Except the last few games before this Arizona game, you know, they just weren't protecting the football. And so one way to protect the football is to just hand it off more, right? Take a few of those passes away. And they didn't do it in an extreme manner against Arizona, but early in the game there was more of an emphasis, and like I said, a little bit more conservative passing game. So they were able to accomplish what they want without just going completely, you know, conservative, but they went more conservative.
Yeah, I think it was like 59% on those early downs, excluding the final 2 minutes, which is key. All right, before I let you go, just a quick thought on tonight. We got a great Monday night game tonight. Mike, give me a quick thought on that game.
Yeah, you know, I have a hard time on this one. I think when I had to pick it last week on the Football GM podcast that I do with Randy Mueller, he went with Tampa, and I took the points. I took the Rams on the points. I'm worried because I think the Bucs pass rush can get after Goff, and we don't think, you know, Goff doesn't do well with that. But you know what? I think that Ram defense can do some damage on Brady. That's a good Ram defense. You know, it's in the top five in the league, so you sort of have to pick which one you think is going to do better. And I sort of feel like, okay, maybe McVay and that offense has been together longer. Maybe I say, let's make Tampa Bay prove it.
Okay. My friend, great stuff. You can check out Mike's work along with so many others at The Athletic, theathletic.com. Great little gift maybe for somebody for Christmas or the holidays coming up. Check it out, theathletic.com. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you in a week's time.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. J. Rudd at Aurora LASIK and auroralasik.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. Need to check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's auroralasik.com for your refractive lens exchange.